Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Saint Ignatius of Antioch, while in prison and awaiting his own martyrdom, once said, "I do not fear the loss of my life, as I do fear the loss of Christ in my life." I'll say that once again. I do not fear the loss of my life, as I do fear the loss of Christ in my life. My friends, in the first reading, as well as in the Gospel this weekend, we hear about fear. The first reading is set in the context in which the prophet Jeremiah has been preaching against idolatry with the Israelites. The Israelites, for many years now, have been worshiping other gods. And Jeremiah has also been preaching against the corruption amongst the leaders of Israel, in particular, the political and religious leaders. This has made many of the Israelites upset with Jeremiah. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what God has to tell them. And ultimately, now Jeremiah has alienated everyone against him, even his own family and friends. Worse yet, they all have turned against him, and now they're plotting against him. They're listening, watching, and waiting for any miscue. That's why it says at the very beginning of the first reading, Jeremiah said, "I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped, and we can prevail and take our vengeance against him." The Israelites are waiting for any reason, any opportunity to pounce on Jeremiah so that they can have an excuse to kill him and get him out of the way. Now, this is a very frightening time for Jeremiah. He's very afraid. The Israelites, for many years, have criticized him. They've intimidated him. And now they're threatening his very life. Yet these fears do not govern Jeremiah's life. Instead, there is one central fear, one overarching fear that governs Jeremiah's life. And it's the fear of Saint Ignatius of Antioch. It's the fear of the loss of God in Jeremiah's life. You see, Jeremiah knows with God in his life, he can persevere through any criticism, any intimidation, even threats made on his life. Jeremiah knows with God in his life, he can conquer anything. That's why he says in the first reading, "The Lord is with me. Like a mighty champion, my persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph over me." Jeremiah knows that God is the sole power in his life, and with that power, he can overcome any challenge. Now, Jesus continues with this theme of fear in the gospel, in which he tells his apostles point blank, at the very beginning of the gospel reading, he says, "Fear no one. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna." You see, Jesus is now picking up on something. Jesus realizes that fear can be a very strong motivating force in our life. Jesus realizes that like the prophet Jeremiah, the apostles are going to face an onslaught of challenges as they continue the work of Jesus' ministry in this world and establish our church. Like Jeremiah, the apostles are going to face criticisms, intimidation, and even threats on their life. Now remember, most of the apostles, like Jeremiah, will ultimately be hunted down and killed. Now, Jesus, again, he knows this. He realizes this. Yet he's teaching his apostles to have one fear in their life and one fear alone, to have one central or overarching fear that will govern their life. And that's the fear of the loss of God in their life. Jesus realizes if they have that fear, then it can be a very powerful and strong motivating force in their life, such that it will shape and govern how they live their life and practice their faith. Let me give you a good example of what I'm trying to get at here. Say, for example, your family suffers from a history of heart disease. Now, it can be traced back to either your mother's side of the family or your dad's side. Say, for example, it's from your dad's side of the family. Your dad had heart disease. Your dad's brothers or sisters, your aunts or uncles, they too also had heart disease. They had strokes or heart attacks. Now you trace it back a generation further. Your grandparents also had heart disease, strokes, and heart attacks. And so you say to yourself, well, with this history of heart disease in my family, there's a potential, a risk of myself having some form of heart disease. Now, this becomes a fear in your life, yet it also becomes a very strong and powerful motivating force in your life so as to change and correct your life for the better. So what do? Well, you start exercising more often. You stop eating fast food. You watch your intake of cholesterol and fat and salt. You stop smoking. And instead of getting a physical every 20 or 30 years, you start getting a physical annually. See, all these things you do are helping you to avoid that fear, the fear of heart disease. And yet now you're living a better and healthier lifestyle. Now take that concept and apply it in the spiritual life. What Jesus is trying to teach us is that we should have one central, overarching fear in our life. Now granted, we can't ignore that there are many fears in our life. Maybe the fear of unemployment. Maybe the fear of divorce. The fear of poor health. The fear of relationships lost. Now these are all legitimate fears. But these fears should not govern our life. Instead, what Jesus is trying to teach us is that we must have the fear of St. Ignatius of Antioch. The greatest fear in our life should be the loss of Christ in our life. Now, mind you, I want to make this very, very clear. When I say the fear of the loss of Christ in our life, I do not mean that we should be cowering in a corner like church mice, terrified of God. No, not at all. And that's not what Jesus is teaching his apostles or us in the gospel. Instead, what Jesus means by the fear of the loss of God in our life, he means the fear of the loss of relationship, the fear of the loss of friendship with God, that suddenly somehow there becomes a rift or a division between us and God. Think for a second of a person in your life that you cherish more than anything in this world, a person that you love deeply. Suddenly, there's a rift between the two of you, a division, a separation. and it gets worse and worse. Now, this person that you have cherished deeply in your life is no longer calling you on a regular basis. You no longer go out to lunch or dinner with this person. You no longer are doing things with this person. Suddenly, this person is gradually drifting out of your life. Now, this is a person that you have cherished and loved for many, many years. Yet now they're slowly drifting away from you. This is a great fear for you. This is a person that you have cherished and loved, and now they're leaving you. The last thing that you want in this entire world is to have this happen. And so you'll do anything at all to preserve this relationship. Well, see, this is what Jesus is getting at. Jesus wants more than anything a relationship with us. And therefore, when he says, fear the loss of God in our life, what he means is fear the loss of friendship, the loss of relationship. Fear an event or a moment in which there becomes a rift between us and God. And therefore, we begin to drift away from God. We stop praying. We stop going to Mass. We stop participating in the sacraments. We stop even believing in the presence of God in our life. See, that's what we should be fearing, that fear of the loss of relationship or friendship with God. And so, if that truly is the overarching or central fear in our life, then it will become a very powerful, motivating force in our life so as to prevent that from happening. And see, that's what Jesus is trying to teach the apostles and now us. If that truly is the sole motivating force in our life, then we will change our life for the better. How? Well, we'll pray more often, pray every day, and pray several times a day. We'll attend Mass every week rather than just twice a year on Easter and Christmas. We'll practice the sacrament of reconciliation or confession once a year rather than once in a lifetime. We will pick up the Bible and study and read Scripture rather than using the Bible as a doorstop or a paperweight on our desk. We will perform the works of charity. We will live a virtuous life. We will do all these things so as to prevent that fear, the fear of the loss of friendship and relationship with God in our life from becoming a reality. See, now we begin to understand what St. Ignatius of Antioch meant when he said, I do not fear the loss of my life as I do fear the loss of Christ in my life. Now, take that a step further or even deeper. When we do all those things to prevent that fear from becoming a reality, then Christ definitely is the center of our life. We are reassured of Jesus' presence in our life. And when that happens, when we have that feeling and that confidence, we can conquer any of the fears that we have in our life that this world has produced for us. Like Jeremiah and the apostles, we can conquer those fears, the fears of unemployment, divorce, poor health, a loss of relationships. We can overcome those challenges and those fears because, like Jeremiah says, God is our champion. And as long as God is in our life, we can persevere and overcome any challenge in our life, because Jesus Christ is the source of our strength. And my friends, when we have that confidence, when we have that reassurance of God in our life, like Jeremiah, we can boldly proclaim with complete confidence the words of Jeremiah, in which he says, "The Lord is with me. Like a mighty champion, my persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph over me." and may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.